anyways, so we continue on this morning in our parable series. And it's a summer series. This is going to take us through the end of the summer. I can't even believe I'm saying the end of summer already. Summer's almost done. So I would just like to say good morning. My name is Pastor Mike. And if you are a guest here, I'd like to turn your attention. In the seat in front of you is one of these connection cards. And if you would take time to fill this out, as a first-time visitor, you will receive an email from me on Monday with a list of nonprofits that we would like to make a gift in your name for joining us at church this morning. It's our way of saying thank you for coming to church. And if you have your Bible this morning, and everybody, did you hear my, who all brought a Bible this week because they thought there might be a chance of a Snickers mini bar this morning? Sorry, I don't have Snickers, but you brought your Bible, so it worked. Maybe I'll bring Snickers on the 21st or the 28th. But if you have your Bible this morning, I hope you do, or I hope somebody next to you does that you can look on with, let me invite you to open your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 10. Everybody say Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And while you turn there, let's recap for a minute what we've covered in our parable series. So because we're going through a handful of parables, we've talked about finding the lost. Does everybody remember finding the lost? Then we talked about, we've talked about persistent prayer. What does it mean to be in persistent prayer? And last week, we talked about the kingdom of God, how Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Today, we continue on in our series, and I want you to know we have 4 weeks left. We have 4 weeks left of this series, and today we focus on helping others. Could you guess that? Today we focus on helping others. So today I've titled the sermon, A Helping Hand. And there's a story that goes with this, and I'd like to share this with you and just imagine this. Imagine it here in New Sharon, okay? One Sunday, a lady was inviting children to come to Sunday school. When she met a boy and asked why he went so far past so many other churches and Sunday schools to get to his. And she said, you know, there are plenty of others just as yours. And he replied, may be good, but they are not so good for me. To which she responded, why not? He said, because they love a fellow over there, as he pointed off into the unknown. Church, our sticky statement this morning is our neighbors experience Christ's love when we lend a helping hand. Let's go to our scripture this morning. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he, being the lawyer, answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he, being Jesus, said to the lawyer, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Verse 34. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, as we get into your word and hear of the Good Samaritan, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word. Lord, how you want to work in and through us, and how we can be the hands and feet of Jesus by showing love, mercy, and compassion. Father, I pray that you would, Father, speak through me, that these words are not my own, but they are from you. And Lord, that you would impact each and every one of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. First and foremost, I want to point out, did you notice that Jesus didn't answer the question directly? He said, "Who is my neighbor?" And instead, Jesus shared a story. And essentially said, let's synopsize this for us today. It's your job to reach out and be the neighbor. Not, "Who is my neighbor so I can go," but rather, it's your job to reach out and be the neighbor. It's your job to be proactive in helping and serving others. We know one thing for sure. The call to love God is a call to love your neighbor. Our neighbors experience Christ's love when we lend a helping hand. This morning we see two responses in this parable. And as I'm reading this, I would ask you to ask yourself, which one are you? Which one are we? Let's talk about the three individuals. The priest. The priest is the one who should have been filled with the most compassion for the hurt traveler. What did he do? He passed on the opposite side of the road. Side note, if you ever see me do that, knock me, okay? We have to have compassion, church. The Levite, who was a ministry associate from a family of worship leaders, he too passed on the opposite side of the road. And then there was the Samaritan. Did you know the Samaritans were a despised enemy of the Jews? He saw the hurt man, and what? He had compassion. He took time out of his day. He stopped his travel. He got off of his animal and he tended to the man's wounds. Then he took him to an inn and he cared for him. Did you catch that? It said, and then the next day he gave the denarii to the innkeeper. He didn't just take him to the hotel and drop him off and say, "Buddy, I wish you the best of luck." He stayed with him through the night, sustaining and making sure he was cared for, that he made it through the night. And then he asked the innkeeper, "Here's some money to make sure he is taken care of. Please make sure the man lives." Where'd that money come from? Out of his own pocket. So he paid to have the man cared for. Now through this parable, Jesus taught about love, compassion, so much so to teach us and to teach them that neither of those have a boundary. Meaning, I can't only stop on the side of the road for a guy that's 5'1" without a beard. That's pretty weird to choose that for your boundary, but I'm just trying to think of something off the top of my head. But think about this for a minute. It doesn't mean if I'm a woman, I don't necessarily only stop for a woman. If I'm a man, I don't only necessarily stop for a man. If somebody's in line at Walmart and they get declined, that I don't pay for their food because they have 15 kids instead of 2 kids. Follow what I'm saying here? We like to put all of our expectations in a box and say, these are the type of people I'll help, and this is all that I'll help with, because I don't know if they can be honest with it and if they actually deserve it. Is it your job to decide? Did the Samaritan stop and play 20 questions with the man before he helped him? Or did he just help him? While the priest and the Levite couldn't be bothered. The Samaritan saw the opportunity as no inconvenience when it came to helping someone out. And church, I would beg you this morning that if the Lord puts somebody before you that you can help out, it is not an inconvenience, but rather it's an opportunity to show the love of Jesus to them. Let us not find ourselves as Christians being like the priest or the Levite that was known by title or job only, not by their actions. Meaning, we cannot be just we out here in the community of New Sharon, out at the school in our county of Mahaska, we cannot be known as so-and-so and such from New Sharon Assembly of God. We shouldn't be known because we teach Sunday school, or we do sound, or we do nursery, or we do certain outreaches, or we stand up here and we do worship. And because we do that, we are a Christian. However, at the same time, our actions don't show love, mercy, or compassion. If this is where we find ourselves, listen, we are after selfish ambition only and not living for the glory of the Lord. Those who profess to be Christians yet are unmoved by the needs and suffering of others prove that they are not really following Christ. How do I arrive to that? Because when we step into a relationship with Jesus, what do we receive? A new heart and a new life. Christ gives us a new heart and a new life to anyone who would accept Him. And when that takes place, He produces love, mercy, and compassion in us for those that are hurting, troubled, and distressed. Have you ever been hurting? Have you ever been troubled? Have you ever been distressed? Could somebody have come to your aid and helped you out and maybe made it a little less hurtful, troubled, or distressing? And I'm not just speaking on this out of my own ideas and my own understanding. The Bible itself speaks to this concept. Matthew chapter, you can write this down. They're not on the overhead, but you can write it down and you can read them later for yourselves. Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46, it says this: "Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer. They also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?'" They kind of missed the point there, didn't they? Goes on to say this: "Then He will answer them, saying, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to'" who? "Me," Jesus. "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There's more. 1 John chapter 3, 16 through 20. It says, "By this we know love, that He," Jesus, "laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. "By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything." Continue on in 1 John chapter 4, 20 through 21. "If anyone says, I love God. Listen to this. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's pretty telling of our relationship with Jesus by how we love our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Anybody who needs help. They don't have to live right next door. If you see somebody broke down on the side of the road, how often do we just drive by that person now because everyone has AAA or their insurance includes roadside assistance and we just assume somebody's pulled up? I mean, honestly, I drive by. I look back and make sure they look like they're getting things taken care of, but how often do we actually stop to provide help? You ever seen somebody in front of you at Walmart have their card decline? How often have we offered our own money to pay for their food or their groceries or whatever it may be? I don't know. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm just asking the question. What opportunities have you had to show the love of Jesus to somebody and not taken? Our neighbors experience Christ's love when we lend a helping hand. See, each and every one of us, as a follower of Jesus Christ, every one of us are responsible to act on the Holy Spirit's love within us. So if the Holy Spirit says, hey, this person needs help, and we don't act, we are sinning. Do you understand that this morning? We are not doing what the Holy Spirit has directed us to do. So because we do that, we neglect the opportunities to demonstrate Christ's compassion. If the Holy Spirit tells you to stop and help so-and-so, or stop and take them a check for $100, or stop and pay for their food, or whatever the case may be, do you know that there's a reason the Holy Spirit is telling you to do that? Probably because He has their heart ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We look back to last week. What did we talk about? Cultivate our soil and plant the seeds. How many seeds have we missed the opportunity to plant because we ignored the Holy Spirit's prompting? When we help our neighbor, we display to them the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. Through it, they experience the gospel message. Now, let's just talk about what we could do. Anyone, understand this, anyone can show love through compassion. Do you have to be a Christian to show love through compassion, right? No, you don't have to be. However, only Christians can show Christ love, mercy, and compassion. So therefore, it is our duty to do what we can in our ability, in our power, to help our neighbor. Just as Jesus taught that there are no boundaries, there is no ands, ifs, buts about it on compassion, like I did for the Christmas play, if you have breath in your lungs this morning, you qualify to help and love your neighbor. Who has breath in their lungs this morning? Oh, not many people want to raise their hands this morning. How many have breath in their lungs this morning? Come on. If you have breath in your lungs, you qualify to love and to help your neighbor. It doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter the gender, and it doesn't matter how busy your schedule is. I thank God that He wasn't too busy to meet me. The lawyer, he wanted to know what it took to inherit eternal life. And Jesus had him tell him how he understood the law. We've been preaching for the past year. My sermons have been about what? The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Because this is what God has called and designed the church to do and to be. The lawyer responds and he says, well, it's to love God, to love your neighbor. And Jesus says, you're right. Do this and you will live. So what do we take from this? If you love God, you will love your neighbor. If you love God, you will love your neighbor. So, how do we love our neighbor? How can we help our neighbors? Providing whatever their need may be. So let's just talk about this for a second. I've already hit on a few of these, but it could be financial help, right? Like maybe they just need help paying a bill. Or maybe they need some food put on the table. Or maybe they're with gas, I'm not celebrating gas prices coming down yet. It's great that they're coming down, but I'm not celebrating it yet. A lot of people are still struggling to put gas in their car. Maybe they need gas in their gas tank just to get to work. Did you know that providing help can be just encouragement? Just encouraging somebody. Sometimes people just need a listening ear. Anyone ever had a hardship they've gone through? Something really tough that they needed to navigate and they just wish somebody would come sit down and talk to them? I'll be the first to say, life is hard. Life is hard. We all face hardships. We all encounter trials. We all deal with loss of one sort or another. And therefore, helping your neighbor can just be sitting down, sharing a cup of coffee with them, and listening. Did you know it can be physical help as well? Maybe somebody's just come home from a surgery. Maybe they're going through health issues of some sort. Helping them physically can be as simple as mowing their yard. Do you understand how tangible this actually is? Who's got a riding lawnmower? I know more than three people have a riding lawnmower. Who has one of those old mowers that you just walk behind and the blades spin? Do you have scissors at home? Come on. Anybody can cut somebody's yard for them. If I see anybody, if you do, just let me know. I'd like to have a picture of it. Just as, you know, we went the extra. No, I really don't. But what I'm trying to get across here is we all have the ability. None of us can. You can justify it away in your mind that I just don't have time or, well, my husband's normally the one that mows the yard, so I can't. You know how to start a vehicle. You can mow a yard. Who has goats? You can just take goats and drop them off in their yard and they'll just take care of it for them. Okay? There is no excuse. You can even care for their pets, right? Cats, you only have to take care of them like once a week. I know this because I take care of my sisters when they're out of town on vacation. Depending on how long the trip, once, maybe twice, I have to stop and take care of them. If I didn't take care of them, I'd be in trouble when she came home. But you can do this. This is tangible ways just to show the love of Christ to somebody. And do we do it expecting anything? This is what we call service without agenda. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he did it without an agenda. We should not expect anything in return, because what are we doing? We're revealing the kingdom of God to these people. Now, I really don't need to continue. I don't need to give you directions on how to love your neighbor. Essentially, if we were to wrap it up, we say treat and do for them what you would hope others would do for you. So, let's say it this way. If you want someone to stop when you run out of gas, what should you do? Stop when somebody else has run out of gas, right? If you don't have food to feed your family, what should you do? Help pay for somebody's groceries who doesn't have it to feed their family. Not at the same time, because then you don't have money for your own. Or you follow what I'm saying here. If we want this to happen, if we ever experience this, then we need to do it now while we have the ability to do so. And if you just need somebody to step in and help you out, you should step in and help them out. At the end of the day, by loving others, who are we showing love to? God, Jesus, right? So our neighbors experience Christ's love when we lend a helping hand. Joel, if you'd like to come up. How easy is it to reach people through love, mercy, and compassion? Those who are successful in showing men love, listen, those who are successful in showing men love, meaning I'm stepping in, I'm taking care of XYZ, or I'm doing this for somebody because there's a need. If we are successful in showing men love, you will be successful in winning them to Christ. And what does this fulfill? The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. This is crucial for us as we make it our priority to do what? Engaging our community for Jesus. I'd like everybody here, just close your eyes, bow your heads this morning. To show others the love of Jesus through love, mercy, and compassion, we ourselves must first have a relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, we're that person that's just being kind. We're not actually able to show Jesus' love, mercy, and compassion. So if you're here this morning and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to have the opportunity to respond to Him today. And I want you to know, first and foremost, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He was the only one who could pay the cost. We celebrated that this morning through our communion. Because of the work of the cross, Jesus has made a way for each of us to be found guiltless and to stand reconciled before God. Jesus is the only way to the Father. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how many kind opportunities to be kind that you did helping acts for others. That, oh, I stopped this week and helped somebody change their tire on the road. That's good and well. Being kind does not get you into heaven. Being nice or saying nice things does not get you into heaven. It is only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Finally, the Bible says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you would like to step into that relationship, would you just raise your hand this morning? Here's how I'd like to close down today. First and foremost, I pray today was a challenge. I pray that the Holy Spirit spoke to us. To each and every one of us. He did to me as I was writing this sermon. That He would reveal areas that we need to be more intentional in. How we can be reaching others through love, mercy, and compassion. How we, as individuals, can lend a helping hand. Maybe you found yourself living in a box. Has anyone lived in a box? You might be in a box right now where you're happy, you're content, and you can't be bothered to lift a hand to help someone else or to be concerned with what they're going through. Maybe we've ignored the Holy Spirit's prompts to do something for someone because we're just too busy today. I have a schedule. I have to be to work in 5 minutes. Listen, church, today is the day to reset. Today is the day to ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit to use you First, we're going to ask for forgiveness for ignoring the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The second is, use me. Use me as a helping hand this week. I believe if we are intentional, if we all listen to the Holy Spirit, we can be used as a helping hand daily. Because the need is great. There's people that need to hear and know the name of Jesus. So there's two things I want to accomplish today. First and foremost, I want you to add this to your prayer this week. So as you're praying in the mornings, as you're getting ready to step out of your door for the day, God, use me. Show me how and where I can be a helping hand to my neighbor. And then when He reveals it to you, because you said the prayer, He's going to reveal it to you, then it's your responsibility to do it, to step into what He's asked you to do. So I made reference to these boxes and these bags of food and items out here this morning to help kickstart this challenge this week of helping somebody. We have care packages out in the foyer for you to take home to give to somebody who's in need. I believe there's two bags in a box for every, so you're taking three items out of here. Grab the numbers, or Laverne and Carol Sue will be out there, won't you? Yes. They're going to be out there and they're going to help guide. Right now, out there, we have 10. We have 10 boxes out there. We have how many at the house? 18. We have 18 more out in the house. So if you can help two families, three families, take 6 boxes. Take 9 boxes. Amen? And deliver to someone who needs it. Now, on the other side of that, I want you to know that if you're in need this morning, we have boxes for you as well. If you're experiencing these hardships that we've talked about this morning, I need you to tell Laverne, I need a box for myself. And we will get you a set of 3 boxes to take home to help you. Amen? So, we have 28 packages. We have 10 out here today. I'd like to see all 10 of these gone and half of them gone in the house. So that's 19 packages that we could deliver today. But before we dismiss, I don't want anyone to miss the opportunity to spend time with God. I want to open the altars. You believe you have a worship song? Or we're going to have something back here. But I want to open the altars. And if you need to leave, I understand. Just quietly do so. But I want to open the altars for anyone who just needs to sit in His presence. For anyone who just needs to spend time in prayer and worship Him. Amen? Let's close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray today was a challenging word for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged, Lord, to start listening to Your voice, the Holy Spirit's guidance, and start acting and offering a helping hand. Lord, I pray that we would find opportunity each day this week to step out and be the hands and feet of Jesus by showing love, mercy, and compassion. Lord, I pray that we would all have testimony from delivering these boxes this week. Lord, that we would be able to come and say, we did this and we were able to pray with them. Lord, I pray that those individuals who receive these boxes would find their ways into this church because of what we're doing here today. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would go before each and every one of us, that You would preempt these conversations, that You would have these hearts softened and ready to hear the gospel. Father, we love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.